to be a website years ago. Funny things things Christians do or things evangelicals do. I don't remember what it was for sure. But the idea behind it was, you know, there's certain things that we do in church that seem routine, normal, even that outside of a church context.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's a little strange, right? All right, so we're going to talk about one of those today on Life Talks. We're going to talk about the laying on of hands.
Mm.
Now, before I get too sacrilegious about this, it is mentioned in Scripture.
Yes, multiple times.
Yes.
Both Testaments.
I have participated in the laying on of hands, both having laid hands upon and having hands laid upon.
Yeah, so you're an experienced hand layer.
I kind of feel like you should have like a hand model here.
I've done this.
So, but is there anything magical? Is there anything mystical about touching someone and praying over them? That's going to be our topic today on Life Talks. My name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We are the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Ben, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I did a little study, Dan.
Well,
and I've got some Bible references. So, no, I think this was a question posed to us by one of our staff people to say, hey, do an episode on this, because it does feel like it's a part of the Christian church landscape. But I don't think many people have a theology or an understanding of where it comes from, why you do it, what's the scope and limitations of it. And so this was actually a really good exercise for me because I, like you, have laid hands on people and prayed for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a part of an ordination council where they have laid hands, you know, a bunch of elders laid hands on me. And mm-hmm. I've been a part of councils where I've laid hands on other people. So I've done it before. And I even knew it was in Scripture, but I never really kind of took the time to navigate why and when and who laid hands on people. So the reality is you see there's both – it's funny because when you type in, you know, laying on of hands, it's used in two different – it's both used negatively and positively in mm-hmm. both Old Testament and New Testament. For example, there's a lot of times where it says and they went to lay hands on them, which was just a kind of a euphemism that said – and they wanted to, you know,
getting ready to beat the tar out of them.
They wanted to beat them up. I mean, they were like, I'm going to lay hands on you. Like, that was not a good positive thing. In fact, they said the same thing in the New Testament as well. So it was a phrase or a euphemism that they used in both, you know, ancient Middle Eastern times to describe someone wanting to physically harm another person. So it can be used in that connotation, but that's not what we're talking about. Really, the first time we see it is it's done ceremonially in the tabernacle,
mm-hmm.
when the priest would lay their hands on this animal sacrifice and transfer symbolically the sins of the people onto this sin offering. And so I think the big word that I see that should be associated with this laying on of hands is this word transfer. There's mm-hmm. this idea of symbolically transferring, because obviously we know that it's not like there's something magical that happens, but there's a symbolic gesture of saying, I'm putting my hands on this goat to represent that the sins have now been transferred to this animal, and then they would sacrifice it. There's another time in the Old Testament where laying on hands is used, and usually it's used for commissioning. So this happened in Numbers chapter 8 when it said the people of God, the nation of Israel, laid hands on the priests to commission them
mm-hmm.
for their work. You also see this in Numbers chapter 27 when Moses lays his hands on Joshua as a symbol of, I'm transferring authority and power to you now. So those are the ways in which we see the laying on of hands in the Old Testament. When you get to the New Testament, Jesus is laying hands on everyone,
mm-hmm.
not in a negative way, in a positive way. He is, when he's laying hands on people, he's healing people. So you start seeing the laying on of hands used predominantly by Jesus to heal other people. Now, he doesn't have to. There are some times where, remember, the centurion comes and, you know, he's like, hey, you just say the word and you can heal him. And Jesus is like, I love the faith that you have. And so mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't have to be any place. He doesn't have to be there physically, but many times he will use that visible gesture to show that the reality of, hey, I'm giving healing to you. The only other time we see him laying on hands that in a non-healing way is when it says he laid his hands on children for blessing to, you know, so he laid his hands on them. So there's this idea of blessing, positive healing. And so those are what we see throughout Old Testament Jesus. And then when you get to the rest of the New Testament, it just more confirms the ways that has already been used. So you see the apostles laying on hands, healing people at various times. You see, you know, Ananias, when he goes to Saul, later named Paul, and he lays hands on him to heal him of his blindness. There was also used in a transitory sense in the book of Acts. We see this in Acts chapter 8 when it says that Peter and the apostles, they laid hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't happen anymore. We are in this, you know, really transitional time between the coming of the Holy Spirit and what was happening. And there's that one episode where I think it's Simon the magician that was like, hey, I will pay you money for the power to lay hands on people.
Give me that ability. Yeah.
And Peter rebukes him for it. But we see the healing, and then we see the commissioning. For example, we see it in Acts chapter 6 when the apostles laid hands on the deacons to give them authority to fulfill their ministry. And then we also see it when Paul and Barnabas are set aside. It says the elders, they laid hands, and then they sent them out. So it's this idea of transfer of power or recognizing authority or commissioning.
Or blessing.
But that is a historical narrative of how the laying on of hands was used in Scripture.
All right. So having established that, because, I mean, the Scripture record is very clear, is this something that should be practiced and under what circumstances should be practiced today? Because, you know, you talked about the period of the apostles, which is very important. And even people using the term apostle today to identify themselves kind of bothers me because, technically speaking, if you're going to use the etymology of the word correctly, an apostle was someone who was at some point face-to-face with Jesus.
He had seen the risen Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
So whether it was the 12 or whether it was Paul who saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, we refer to them as apostles. And today,
right,
some like to wear that title in a way that, you know, well, we can say, well, there's another definition of apostle, perhaps.
Right.
But there is this principle of the apostles were given special authority, special privileges, and special ministry because of their proximity Jesus.
Yeah.
So did the laying on of hands end with them, like some would believe, cessationists would believe, other spiritual gifts ended? Do we see that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, again, I can't remember the guy who said it when I was reading it, but basically his whole take on the laying on of hands was not that this is something you can't do today. His whole point was, this is making an invisible reality visible. That's all you're doing when you're laying on hands.
So it is indeed symbolic at that
point.
It's
very, very symbolic. It's showing, you're saying something, there's a transfer happening here, there's a prayer happening here, there's a blessing happening here, there's a commissioning happening here that's already happening spiritually. We're taking an invisible reality and we're making it visible, we're making it public, and we're making it memorable. Because notice, many times when you saw this happening, especially the commissioning, it was an act of public disclosure. Like, we are hoping everyone now sees, the congregation now sees, this person is now commissioned with some level of spiritual authority. That's why when you have Paul talking to Timothy about, you know, don't lay hands on people too quickly, he says that, I can't remember what chapter is in First Timothy, but the whole idea is make sure you're really sure about someone's character before you commission them. But that act of laying on of hands was a symbolic way, a public way to say, we believe these people are commissioned with spiritual authority and for gospel proclamation.
It was a transfer of credibility
in
many cases.
Exactly.
Because even in those days, proximity was power. Proximity gave authority and credibility. For instance, if you got an invitation to eat at the king's table, that was one thing. But if you had on the invitation, it said you're invited to share the king's salt.
Yes.
At the table, that meant that you got to sit next to the king, so close that you shared the same bowl of salt.
Mm.
So that proximity thing is, but I think one of the things that we may want to touch on just a little bit is the abuse of this, because
in
today's culture and in modern evangelicalism, there are those who, let's just use Benny Hinn for an example.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly where my mind went.
Yeah, you can pull it up, and you've got him slaying people in the spirit where people pass out by, you know, by this sudden thrust of the hand or touching of the forehead with the fingers. I've literally seen him take his coat off and swirl it, and people fall in waves. And, you know, it's one thing to, you know, and I'm heavy mocking of that because I believe it's just a Las Vegas hypnotism show. I don't believe there's any spiritual significance in it. I really do believe he's a charlatan and and to be avoided because of that. But there are some who firmly believe that this is an act of spiritual power and authority and thrust. Do we have anything in Scripture that would in any way justify a spiritual leader using this power to elevate himself as a leader or someone closer to God or to perform spiritual actions?
Yeah, I think the that's a great question. Again, I think the difference is your the reason why this becomes a problem is because there's some people that believe that the power resides in the person, that it's the person. It is the Benny Hinn. It is the faith healer. That is this individual has been anointed with this special gift, and therefore, because he has the special gift, it's his ability to lay on hands that has the power. Whereas biblically speaking, we know that the power really comes from God. It's not a matter of, again, we're putting our faith more in the symbol than the substance. And that's what happens. I think you got to be really careful when there's this faith and the belief that I need that guy to lay hands on me. Like that person has some level of power and authority that is especially anointed, again, kind of the charismatic background. And they use these kinds of words. You don't see that in the Scripture where there's these, again, it's not like the power is in the person touching. It is simply, that is a symbol of what we believe that God is doing in their life. And so I really think when it comes to the faith healers, when it comes to the charismatics, and again, the ones that really abuse this kind of thing, what I would say is they put more faith in the person that has that's laying
right
on the hands.
And I think that's an important distinction that we always ought to point out in the supernatural works that we see recorded in the New and Old Testament, but particularly the New Testament, or for the glorification of God, not for the glorification of the servant.
That's right.
The servant was just a you know, a part of what God was doing, an inconsequential part, because he could have chosen to use any servant,
right?
And that's why Paul kept emphasizing, you know, quit talking about Apollos and quit talking about, you know, me and and whoever else. We're here to talk about Jesus. We're here to talk about grace. We're here to talk about truth. And so I this is where the celebrity culture gets particularly sticky and dangerous, wherever we start thinking that some people have special unction from God or whatever that's not available to other people. And in the New Testament, one of the key doctrines is the priesthood of the believer. We all have access to God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God chooses to lift up and use certain people in distinct ways, but not for their glory, but for his glory. And, you know, if he'll use a donkey on the side of a mountain, he can use me. And basically the idea is the donkey's not special and neither am I.
That's right.
So I think we need to be, again, really discerning and really careful on this. At the same time, there is the blessing of the touch. You know, I was thinking, as you know, one of them that you didn't mention though was, you remember how Jacob tricked his father by putting on the lambskin or
outfit,
goat hair, thinking because he wanted his father to touch him and think he was touching Esau, who was hairy, but he wanted that blessing, and there was a transfer of blessing.
There is something real transfer that goes on, and I think that, again, it's a symbolic thing, but it's a real thing, right? It's not like it's nothing, and that's why I think that you know, when we pray for people, we've had people come to our church who have health issues, and a lot of times they'll go to James chapter 5 when it's they talk in the very end of James chapter 5 when it talks about if any of you are sick, come and have the elders pray over you, anoint you, and in that moment, you know, we've been in the same room. It's a powerful moment. It's very emotional. That moment where you are anointing that person with oil, and we're laying hands on this person who's desperate for healing. And you and I have seen the power of God heal people miraculously, and we have seen people that it didn't do anything. Right. And so It's one of those things where it's like, there's no, I don't know why God heals some people in those moments and why he doesn't heal in those moments, yeah. You know, but I do think there is something to the fact of when you, it is, there is, it's not only a symbol, but it's the power's not in that oil. The power's not in just the hands. It is the power of God that's doing something, but it's the symbol behind it that I think that we need to understand.
Yeah, and I would add to it another thing that I think is easily lost, because when you mentioned the James passage, to me that is very frequently mistaught and misunderstood, because the application, when you study the Greek words and everything being used there, this is much as about encouragement.
That's right.
And for those who are emotionally and philosophically ill, you know,
yes.
Where they're just discouraged and
yes.
down, and why
yes.
do I, why? And so oil was always comforting. Oil mm-hmm. was used kind of like, you know, whether you're talking about a massage oil or you're talking about anointing dry scalp with oil,
yes.
it gave you
yes.
relief from the itching
yes.
or whatever. But the other thing too is there is something very special about the physical touch.
Mm.
When Jesus was touched by the lady who had an issue of the blood, he felt his virtue being basically sucked out of him.
Right.
But there, that was an outrageous thing for her to do to him, because
that's
first
right.
she was sick. Secondly, she was a woman. Thirdly, he was a rabbi.
Yeah.
And so when she touched him, that was an outrageous action of intimacy.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we don't want to miss in this. You know, we were not created to be isolated.
Mm.
We're created in the image of God, who desired fellowship. So when you care about someone and you touch them, when you are blessing them and you touch them, when you are transferring authority to them, when you are ministering to them and there's that human touch. And you know, one of the things I find disturbing about our current culture is that we've over-sexualized everything. And so we're almost afraid to touch each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to respect my boundaries and
yeah.
so forth. And obviously, you do have to respect people's
yes.
boundaries. I'm not making light of that. And some people are more touchy-feely than others. And for many years,
like you, you're super touchy-feely. I mean, Dan
well,
is...
you know, you think I... the fact is, when I lived in South Florida, if you were not touchy-feely, you were not going to be effective in ministry.
It probably changed...
It did.
Changed
it changed
you.
Me dramatically to the
yeah.
person who never wanted to be touched or hugged, where literally men and women both would do the air kiss on the cheek, you know.
Because if you didn't,
you were rude.
You were rude.
Yeah.
In that culture.
Yeah, in the South Florida Latino culture. And it was kind of funny because then I'd go up and I'd be working or teaching somewhere up in like Boston or something. And out of impulse, I'd lean in and give somebody an air kiss on the cheek, and they jump back like I, you know, I had some kind of communicable disease. So I'd have to remember where I was. But you know, I miss that, quite frankly.
Mm.
There have been times, you know, we did this with our spouses. You know, like, honey, I just need a hug right now.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't think we ought to downplay that for culture reasons. There are times when a pat on the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
a hand on the shoulder, or a hand over a hand, when there's a prayer of blessing where you touch their head or you lay your hand on their back and you say, at this moment, we are connected spiritually and we are connected physically
yeah.
in this way. It creates, you know, the intimacy, you know, that Scripture talks about when two or more are gathered
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
in the name of Christ. So you know, while, you know, there's always the danger of the extremes, the extreme of, you know, I'll wave my coat and everybody falls. But there's also the extreme of I don't touch anybody.
Yes.
And I think
yes.
we need to be careful of both.
Absolutely. I think what we're talking about is a hand laying on that represents love and care. And that's why Jesus did. I mean, Jesus could have said, done. He could have pointed to you,
yeah.
done, done, done. The reason why he was touching, the reason why he was laying his hands on people is to show them, I care. Like, I think one of the most, you talked about the story of the leper, or I'm sorry, of the woman with the issue of blood. I think about the story of the leper, you know, in the beginning where the leper, I think it's beginning of Mark, where the leper just runs up to Jesus and just says, mm-hmm. if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Jesus looked at him with compassion, reached out and touched. And I just think about that moment as a leper, someone who was unclean, who was ostracized, who could not touch someone, another human being, without risk of, you know, infecting them mm-hmm. or some other thing. And Jesus is the one who knows how many years it's been since this person has been touched by another human being, but he reaches out, he touches him, he lays his hands on him, and he heals him. And I think that entire idea of compassion and that love and that care goes into when we're laying our hands on people to pray for them is that's the kind of heartbeat. That's the kind of the same kind of value that Jesus had for people. That's the same kind of value we need to have when we do these kinds of things.
And that's just such a great point. And we're almost out of time, but I just want to dwell on that because, again, in other cultures, we can't only think like Westerners because the scripture wasn't even written to Westerners.
Yeah.
But when we think in those terms, that touch represents respect. It represents value. It represents compassion.
Yeah.
And so it's like when Jesus said, you know, let the little children come to me. You know, don't prevent that. And we have a privilege of showing, look, I may be older. I may be American. I may be socioeconomically more comfortable. But when I touch you, all that evaporates.
Yeah, I think that something that the Jewish culture does, certain Jewish cultures do, still to this day, is on every Sabbath, when they have their Sabbath meal, the father gets up and he lays his hands on his children and he blesses them.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that ritual, I think, that I would have loved for the Christian community to embrace that same kind of, like, this. We're laying our hands, we're blessing, we're praying, we're transferring this symbolically, that God's goodness and favor on this person. I just think what we're talking about, that's a good kind of way of laying hands on people.
Absolutely. Well, we hope we've stimulated some thinking on your part about what it means to lay hands on. And whatever your conclusion is on this, I tell you what we do need to do. We need to make sure that we are communicating other people's value and worth before God.
That's right.
Because the fact that Christ died for them as much as he died for you and me gives them the value that they need and they should be seeking as they form a relationship with he who loves them that much. As always, it's great to have you listening in with us on Life Talks. We hope you'll tell others about it. Share us on social media if you will. And until next time, thanks again for joining us here at Life Talks.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well. So leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.